של משה רבנו, תיינס לו הקדוש ברוך הוא, הם לא יאמינו לי, לא ישמעו בקולי. That Klal Yisrael is not going to believe him, and that they won't listen to what he has to say. So the Nesiv Shalom asked an interesting question. Madua choshed Moshe Rabbeinu b'vnei Yisrael shelo yaminu loy. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu suspect that Klal Yisrael wasn't going to listen to him? Number one, obviously Klal Yisrael wanted a Yeshua. Obviously Klal Yisrael was a patzoret. They had enough of a tzara. But yet, we see that for some reason Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that they would not listen. And the same thing is, Mazeb, you have to remember asking, what is your hand? Then Moshe said afterwards in response, why did Hashem have to go back with the question and the answer? What's in your hand? You see the person has a mat in their hand. So what's the whole question and answer? Kein tzorech bir is the third question. Ma adipus ha'oysa yizal zeh shim lo yaminu lo yishmu l'kol ha'oysa rishon v'aminu l'kol ha'oysa achroi. That why is one trick better than the other trick? If they won't listen to the first oysa, so then they'll listen to the second oysa. If they don't listen to the first oysa, so what are you going to do by bringing a number of oysas around, by doing a number of different kutsim? It's not going to help anymore. So he says, one more inyan. So it be a inyan sheshnei oysas rishonim sheboik vatchilo. That the two original oysas, that they were exactly like it was in the beginning. An example. Shanach Hashav liyos mate, that v'yodah shabot kibsaroi, that the mate turned into the snake, then turned into the mate, then, in other words, it turned into what it was originally, and also the hand, when the hand went inside the first time, it came out with tzoras, and then when the hand came out the other time, it was clear again. It happened to be that both of these turned out as they were in the beginning. Vilu meimei hayor, but the waters didn't do that. Shenevchu ledam nisharukav, that the waters that came into blood, it left it. That's the way it was. Lo shavu liosmaim kivatchila, and they didn't return to be water like it was originally. Ramban huksha, the Ramban asakasha, lavi naisi lama asois haoisus lamaisha. He says, I don't understand why was the necessity that Moshe Rabbeinu got these oysas and Moshe Rabbeinu got the miracles. Because Moshe Rabbeinu believed whatever Hashem Yisroch told him, he believed. That the Ribbono Shel should have said, the matan is inside of your hand, so when you'll be in front of the Mitzrayim, so throw it in front of them. It was not necessary that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the matah that it was going to work. What's the dynamics? The matah will turn into the nachash and then back. That wasn't necessary. That's the first thing. The second is kasher amar ba'ois hashlishi, that the by the ois, the third ois. So then already Hashem instructed Moshe Rabbeinu what to do once that he got there. Now we realize that all the things that happened with Moshe Rabbeinu were not necessity. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Eved Nemon. He was the biggest maimin in Hashem. Whatever Hashem said, he believed right away. So it seems to be that it's interesting that there was a little practice session, you know, a rehearsal there to throw down the matah and then to pick up the matah. Agav Orcha, it says interesting thing, that Moshe Rabbeinu was disturbed. It's only my own teretz. Moshe Rabbeinu was very much disturbed because when the matah went into the nachash, so then the snake, there is a medrash that says that was the nachash HaKavoni. It was the source of ra in the world. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that was the nachash, the same one that was around in Adam and Chava. So he got upset and Moshe Rabbeinu recoiled. He stepped back because he was challenged by the koyach of ra. Hashem Yisroch said, the way that you take care of Ra is not by running away, you don't get upset, but you take the Ra itself and you convert it into Kedusha. You take the Yetzirah Ra and you push it into the Yetzirah Tov. A person has an interest in doing an Avera, and they have a great desire to do the Avera. So they take that desire and they recycle it, they turn it around, and they do a mitzvah. A person takes that koyach and they go to learn. A person takes the koyach and they go and do a ma'asa chesed. They help somebody. That's what a person's supposed to do. So therefore, it can be that Moshe Rabbeinu, had he done it the first time in front of Paro Melech Mitzrayim, so then there could have been a problem. Why? Because when he saw it, he could have got upset. He could have gotten very, you know, odd over the fact that it was the Nachash. Because of that, we see something very interesting, that Hashem Yisroch had to go through it one time beforehand. Yeshlom Adinyan said, that really this is not something that's brand new. The oises are new. The signs of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be given is brand new. But it's a hemshech, it's a continuation. What we just had was the mice of the snare, that Moshe Rabbeinu was looking at the snare, and the snare did not become devoured by the fire. And there we learn a lot of different interesting mepharshim tell us what the Musar Haskel is, burned and the fire surrounded, and the Aish was the Aish of Ra, but yet it didn't disturb in the slightest way. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't disturb the Sneh. So this is a follow-up to the Sneh. It's a follow-up to what happened. There it says, Shek Asher, Misha Moshe Lissah, Shekarish Baruch Hu Chofetz, L'ga'ula, L'ga'olam, that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu said to Klai Yisrael, you know what? The Ribbono Shalom wants to take you out from Galus. So there at that minute, Amrulai, they said to him, Eich efshe sheniga v'aloi kol eretz Mitzrayim meleya b'tnufei geluli avodah zarah shalom. They said that the Yidin tited, how can Hashem take us out from Mitzrayim? We are all filled up with avodah zarah, we're filled up with all different types of ra. So that's what they answered back. They said, how could Hashem take us out from Galus now? Two reasons. The Galus was very dark. The Mitzrayim were surrounding them. And on the third thing is that they had built even their own Avodah Zarah. So their own Avodah Zarah was going to be Ma'akim the Geula. Yesh Lahavin. You have to understand. Da'aloi Galus va ba'oven Avodah Zarah. So Mishnah Novus and Parakeh. Now what is the reason that Galus comes? Galus comes when there's Avodah Zarah. That's one of the Onshim of Avodah Zarah. That people go and they serve whatever it is at different kufas. There were very interesting forms that were served. So because of that, Galus comes to the world. They realize that Galus came. So the good question is, so Klal Yisrael realized that the reason that there is Galus is because of Avodah Zarah. And they could get out of the whole Galus, they could get out of the Avdus. So the logical thing would be to say that Klal Yisrael would come, each one of their Avodah Zarah, and say, okay, we're throwing this into the fire, we're getting rid of it, we'll throw it to the Nile. Why didn't they say that? Why did instead Klal Yisrael come and say, no, you don't understand. We can't be taken out of Galus. The reason we can't be taken out of Galus is because we serve Avodah Zarah. What are they, Meshigana? They're there serving every single day, mamish, with the most difficult form of Avdus, and their slaves. Anyone would say, we'll get rid of the Avodah Zarah and we'll do it. It's interesting. Ebenezer says, as we know, very interesting Inyan, that Klal Yisrael got used to it. They got used to the Avdus. They got used to the servitude. They were used to being slaves. So because of that, once they got used to it, they didn't realize that there's an option out. They thought that's our lot. That's what we're supposed to do. They developed a slave mentality. Because of that, it didn't dawn on them that they should throw out their Avodah Zarah because they had come to accept their lot. That is a problem in general, that a person should never accept their lot. A person has to strive for godless to accomplish everything that they want in this world. The moment that a person says, well, I accept the way it is right now and that's going to be it, that person is not talking Torah. That person is not talking Hashkafas HaTorah. An individual has to constantly challenge more and more and more until they're able to accomplish everything that they wanted. So there, the reason that Klal Yisrael tied that we still have Avodah Zarah is because they wanted to hold on to it. In fact, we learned that even at the time when they were going through the Yamsuf, so they were carrying over their head the Pesel Mitzvah, they were carrying their Avodah Zarah with them. Can you imagine? The Ribbono Shel Olam would make such a nice Kriyas Yamsuf, and yet they're carrying their Avodah Zarah. Now, the question is, did they think that the Avodah Zarah has something to do in any way with Lahavdil Alfei Havdalos, Avodas Hashem? Did they think that that was also like a part of it that they would bring it? Very interesting. Over the generations, there were those that tried to push their Avodah Zarah, but together with Avodas Hashem. They wanted people to go and daven, they wanted people to learn, but also to be involved in various forms of Avodah Zarah. There's a tshuva from the Rabbi Yaakov Sasportis, very interesting, in the Tzitz Neuvel, and he talks about certain things that were instituted in the shuls that he wanted to outrule, wanted to outlaw, because it says it's Avodah Zarah. The Muslims at the time, at Tshuvas Knesset Yecheskel, the Muslims wanted to bring in, they had Muslim rugs. You know, the Muslims, they vow whatever it is. So they wanted to bring the rugs into the shuls. They had adopted the custom. It was a whole furor what should be done. The reason is because the Yidden did develop certain customs at that time, like the land. So it's the whole question, is that Avodah Zarah, is it not Avodah Zarah? All different times they wanted to light candles during certain holidays, because the Amim lit candles, and they wanted to know, could it be instituted in the Beis HaKnesses? Very, very big shyness. There were sometimes people that got confused and thought that they could take a Avodah Zarah and put it together with some form of Avodas Hashem. Even Bismadeinu, you see that there are people that sometimes get confused. There are people that, not only younger people, but older people, that comes around Hanukkah, they have a Hanukkah menorah. Comes around the other time, they have the other symbols that they come around. And they don't see a stira. They don't realize it. Whether it's something that they have a yearning for a certain type of a ruchnias, a spirituality, and it's misguided, or exactly what the psychology is that's involved, we see that people are not willing to give up their Avodah Zarah easily, even if they know that the Avodah Zarah may be hurting them. They don't want to give it up. So Amar Lam, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to take them out. B'chol Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'atron. And everybody knows that anybody that's going to say that Hashem forgives and Hashem doesn't care about it, don't worry about it, of course it's not true. V'yeshlamu b'zeh there's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. It says, "Hein Esav, achi ishya soyer." We know that Esav was the one who was had a lot of hair. But nochi ish chalk, and I am smooth. My skin is smooth. And there we learn that there was a yesodistic difference. What did it mean that Esav had all the hair? It means that Esav's meluchloch ba'avoinus, that he had all of the Averis, the hair symbolized at that time, that he had was dirty with Averis. And on the other hand, Yaakov Avinu, who was the Ishtam Yoshev Oyelim, he was completely clear. He didn't have these Averis surrounding him. Not that a person never did an Averis, but rather that the opposite, that a person would constantly try to get rid of their Averis to become clean. So there he says, "Va'omar l'fana l'libnei Hashem yisbarach, golav yodu l'fanecha shvetzaynenu lasas v'tzaynecha." Hashem, it's known that we want to do your ratzon. We want to do only your ratzon. Elish yitzahara, but the yitzahara comes and messes us up and gets in the way. That is the chet of Yaakov Avinu ishchala. That's what the Sefer Shalom says, that a person that really they have the ratzon to do the ratzon Hashem, that's their desire. The only thing is that certain things come and circumvent their desire, that they get messed up along the road, and instead they do an avera. But the emison, the person doesn't want to do avera, the person only wants to do a mitzvah. The person that does not want to do an avera, but ends up doing an avera, is 1,000 times better than the person who wants to do the avera and goes ahead and does the avera.
How well developed was the concept of tshuva? Well, we know that it went through certain stages, that other Rishonim didn't occur to him until he saw his son coming and said, "Now what happened to him here?" Yeah. Is it possible that B'nai Israel felt that tshuva wasn't an option. The problem was they had already worshipped the idols, and if they weren't going to go out of Golos, they might have kept the idols because they had the Yitzhar to have it, and it wasn't like.
It's a good kasha. It's an excellent kasha. You just make a bracha. The first is that the Yidden in times of the Egel Azov and the Egel Azov already knew about Tshuva. The time of when it came to the Egel, they learned about Tshuva. How did they learn? Because they started crying. Once they realized Egel Azov, what the Yetzer Hara does is tell us to do something crazy, and then after the person does something crazy, so then the Yetzer lets them have their brain back, they can have the rationale back, and they say, oh, Gavah, what did I do? It's crazy, you know. The person gets upset, and they walk in and they tell the boss, I quit. Right? All of a sudden, they go home, it's irreversible, they say, what did I do? Or a person mails out a scathing letter, and they put it in the mailbox, right? And it's one of those mailboxes, you know, the chute goes straight down into the post office. Right after they put the thing and it drops out of their fingers, they go crazy. How can I do this? How can I send the letter? The Yetzer does this. It's a mighty Yetzer. It's not that the person went crazy. The Yetzer is able to blind the person until the exact moment that they've done it. Then immediately he lets them return to their normal thinking. This happens many, many times that a person, if they're ever thinking straight, they would never do it. But it says, "Ein adam that they, especially at time of chacham, wouldn't do an avera, el im ke nichnas boy ruach shtus, unless like something came into their head, and once that thing comes into their head, it takes over their normative thinking." So the first thing is that by the Egel Azov, once it reached the crescendo, so then at that moment, Klal Yisrael knew they did something wrong, and they began to cry. And they cried, and they cried, and they cried, and they were forgiven.
But was that abnormal? No, their response was a beautiful response, that they understand that Tshuva was an absolute thing that could be done.
No.
Or they were crying because they felt helpless, because world showed them their Tshuva.
Because they felt that they lost it. They felt that they lost it.
Irreversible.
Irreversible.
And the people that the Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim were from before that.
Right.
The people were before that.
Right. The first time, so that was the first time that they realized that there was tshuva, Hashem forgave them. When it came to the mice of the Meraglim, so that was an interesting thing. The Meraglim came back, and they also started crying, right? The Bechias of the Meraglim were still suffering for it. So the Cheskel Kuzmira asked the question, why were the Yidden forgiven in the times of Egel Azov? That seems to be the biggest Avera, Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, the Avera of the Meraglim, so they said to Lashon Hara, why weren't they forgiven? The reason is because in the times of the Meraglim, they were missing the real hergish. They didn't give up. They didn't say, this is going to be it. We're not going to be able to get back into Hashem's good graces. They had complete chalishus hadas. They were finished in the times of the Egel Azov. By the Meraglim, they said, you know what we'll do? We'll cry a little bit. We'll be a little bit upset. We'll clap Baal Chet a few times. And then we will be forgiven. It's because of that that they were not forgiven. So they realized first it was tshuva by the Egel Azov. And then afterwards, by the Meraglim, they tried to do an ineffective chore. Right. Okay. Just to show you, Svorim, Shaga'ula Tia B'Shem Abayit, that the Nesiv HaShalom brings over here, that there were certain things that they felt could be done when things are good, when the Klal Yisrael is not sunk into the Memtes Shari Tuma, when they're not sunk into the depths of Tuma, then it would be possible to redeem them. However, once they are so bad off that they're in the Memtes Shari Tuma, they felt that the only way that's going to happen is like a Matnas Chinam, all of a sudden the world's going to be washed, there'll be a marble, and Klal Yisrael will emerge one time again. Now this is an interesting idea, that the Yetzirah sometimes can tell a person that they are going to be not able to do something, they can't do tshuva, that they can't accomplish something, that they can never right the wrong, they can't be misaken whatever happened wrong. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu made the whole thing, when they ask what your name is, what should I tell them? What, L'charev, just say Ribbono Shel Olam, say the Heilig of Hashefer, say anything. Moshe Rabbeinu goes through, when they ask your name, what should I tell them? What was the reason? Because Klal Yisrael wanted to look into what is the midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show in Mitzrayim. Is it going to be the midah sadin? Is it going to be the midah sarachmim? Is it going to be the divine attribute of mercy that even if they're stuck in the Memdeh Shari Tumah, Hashem will come down and take them out as long as there's still a chuta saira, here is breath that they're holding on. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam was asked by Moshe, what should I say when they ask me the name? In which bechina are you going to show yourself into the world? So there we say, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, who am I? We had the whole argument that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go to tell Klal Yisrael. Moshe didn't want to be the Shliach, right? Because he was afraid person wouldn't listen to him. So there we see, Ma'ois who's that? Amashiv Tichu Ki Ayayimoch, that Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, just like with this ois, I will be together with you. In other words, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to separate from you, and therefore you'll go together, Hashem says, with the Koyach. So therefore, the reason that the matah was shown could have been not necessarily that Moshe Rabbeinu had to have a dry run to go through the mace of seeing how to do it, but rather something different. That Hashem Yisbarach says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to be together with you. There's an interesting inyan that a shliach is in some ways like the person that sent the shliach. The yad of the shliach is like the yad of the mishaleach. So therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu went from Hashem, that was a tremendous koyach. Now, the truth is that all of us, you and I, are also shlichim from Hashem. We also have that koyach. We also have a tzelem elokim. We have a power that we're able to accomplish in this world. Things that we're able to accomplish is the lamayla minatev. I'll give an example. A koyach. A kohen is allowed to go with five of the name. It's allowed to go to the Kodesh Kodeshim. It's amazing that a human being can stand in there, that he can be makir korbanos, that he can do other things. These things are lamayim minatev. It's outside of the derech hateva. But we see that a person has within them a little bit of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Everybody has that tzel lokim of Hashem, and because of that, we have the power that we are able to accomplish things that could even be. Is a person able to do something miraculous? The short answer is yes. A person could do something miraculous. Can you promise somebody else that you're going to do something miraculous? Can't do that. But you definitely could. You definitely could try to do something that is even beyond our own koyach. And this is a psak halacha in certain cases. An example, Chassam Sofer has in his tshuvas, you have a poor man, and the poor man wants to borrow a lot of money. Poor man says, I want to borrow, I don't know, $10,000. So they say to the poor man, how could you borrow that much? They say to the yoni, you'll never be able to pay that back. Never be able to pay that back is based on previous experience. Me a yoni, usher, who's the one that says, who's going to have money in this world? So because of that, an oni is allowed to borrow a huge sum of money, because the nes will happen. Now, there is a question. If we think that our pitevi is not going to be able to get the money, we have a chiyuv to lend him the money. Why? If we lend him the money and he can't pay back, so maybe we gave to him a mikshol. I was once asked such a question. La halacha, we're allowed to lend it. La halacha, we're allowed to lend it. Because the same way that a person of means could pay back, a rich person, so too a person that is poor could pay back. It doesn't matter. So there is an interesting reason we see there that the oisos that were given over to Moshe Rabbeinu was to let Moshe know that there is a time when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with each and every one of us. Hashem Yisbarach is together with us, and therefore we can accomplish anything. when Moshe is going to be there in front of Hashem Yisroch, he's going to be able to do the Isis Moivsim, or when Moshe is going to be in the front of Paro and his Melech Mitzrayim with all the tumas surrounding him, he's also going to be able to do whatever he wants. Now, the truth is that a person should not do Nisim, even if we would know how to do Nisim. We can't do Nisim. There are two reasons. Because Nisim, when a person does a Nes, say we are Zoche to a Nes, so it says that a Nes is Menake from the schuyos of an individual. If they do a Nes, so it wasn't coming to us. It was something that had to be done, L'mayla min ha-teva. That means that a person will lose some of their schuyos. Now we never know when we need our schuyos for a rainy day. Every one of us has a tremendous amount of schuyos, and it's sort of like a system where when the schuyos are needed, they're transferred from the account. If a person does too many nisim and they're zayche to all kinds of different things through nisim, so what we are afraid is that it emptied out the schuyos. The schuyos we need even more than the nisim, because the schuyos are going to keep us going. If you have a chance, and you can get a nes done, right? You go to somebody who's a miracle worker. Or you have a chance that you could go and learn a few psukim, or a daf, or a halacha, should learn. The reason is because the learning has it's a two-pronged thing. Number one, the learning will give the person the schus that whatever they want the nes, it could happen anyhow. The second thing is that the schus that the nes didn't happen, they'll leave their schus intact. And when the right time will come and they'll need their schuyos, they'll be able to draw upon them. But if a person does something l'mayla min ha-teva, it's menake. It takes away from their schuyos, it takes away from their plan. The schuyos that a person has are also not only the cumulative, but the schuyos can grow, the schuyos that we have. And because of that, it's an interesting Tana de Velio. The Tana de Velio says that what happens if you're planting a little sapling. All of a sudden you hear, Mashiach Tzidkenu is coming. Mashiach Tzidkenu is coming. What should you do? Tana de Velio holds, you continue to plant your sapling. Why? Mashiach Tzidkenu is coming. The donkey, the Oni, Reichav al-Hamor, he's coming into the place and you want to see it. You finally be able to see Mashiach, we'll know who he is. How could it be? Of course you have to stop the sapling. No. Tana de Velio says, a passing miracle is not on the level of planting a sapling, because a sapling is the kachas of the Bria, it's the seeing of the Ribbono Shel Olam in every single day. It's the most amazing thing in the world. So because of that, that little sapling means more to us. If you didn't do it, you should do it. I tell you, everybody want a lesson in Amuna, the biggest Amuna in the world. Buy a little seed, a little lima bean, whatever you want to buy from the store, you know, from the greenhouse. You come up with a little package, put it in the sink near the window, you plant it in the soil, water it every day, follow the instructions well, and you see something grow out from that little seed. A bigger nace a person doesn't have to see. You want to see something more than that, take a magnifying glass or a microscope, put it under a slide, take a look at a little bit of the leaf, you'll see nisim niflois. It's unreal. Take a look at the seed. What's the seed? It's hard. It's dry. It's like a little pebble. And look what can come out from it. Just from that alone, a person can be the biggest lineman in the world. So the Tana de Velio says, just in case you're planting your little lima bean or whatever it is, and Mashiach Tzidkenu happens to come, finish planting your lima bean, then go out to be Mekabel Pnei Mashiach. Now, I'm not sure this would go over in all crowds, but that's them. That's our Ashkafa. Because the Ashkafa that we have is not built on Oysas and Moivsin. The Oysas had to be taken because it was a level of the Memtesh Shari Tuba. They needed to grab onto something. You know, I have to say a similar thing. A few years ago when the Dybbuk, if you remember that whole thing in Eretz Yisrael, with the Dybbuk when it came out, the people went crazy. I remember on the street, people would run over. What do you think about the Dybbuk? Well, can you tell us a little bit about it? Explain it. Why do people go so crazy over the Dybbuk? It's the Dybbuk. I mean, the Ribbono Shel Olam is here. Malachim are in the air. We have the Torah Kedosha. The reason is because people like these wondrous things. It's like interesting. It's miraculous. But the miraculous, all the miracles in the world, they are not the sign of what our foundation of Amunah is.
The Rav says that a person can do something miraculous because he has killed the Kamei Malchus. but he can't promise that he can't. How does this all fit in with Sabbath joy during the time? And the fact that we're not supposed to rely on miracles, yet we always go through the Tzaddik Mass for a procession.
The Tzaddik, even though he's Geyser, we're not sure whether it's going to be Mekayim or not. So the first thing is, he can't be Mavtiach. He can try. He can knock on the doors of Shemayim. He can stop the sun from going down. All kinds of nisim niflois. But it doesn't mean that he has the right to do it. I saw from the Chosim Lublin, from a great rabbi, Chosim Lublin said, there was a guy that was told, it was either an investment, I forgot exactly in which way, and the chassid thought for sure he's going to win. For sure he's going to make out a tremendous amount of profit. So he went to invest and he lost. So they came back to the Chosim Lublin, and it was explained that nobody can say exactly the way that you're going to make the money. He's going to make the money. Now, it could be through that, whatever investment he made, that was not meant for it. So even the tzaddik himself, he can be geyser. He'll have the schus, there'll be a kiyum to the gezeira that'll be geyser. But it does not mean that he's going to exercise a direct nes. If the tzaddik does it, so it can be that the tzaddik will have the schus like a favorite child. Shouldn't be a favorite child. The favorite child, you know, if the children trying to decide how to get something out of the father and the mother, so they have a little meeting and they say, you go, because, you know, they'll listen to you. It's always like the the United Nations man and the family. So the same thing is, the Ribbono Shel Olam sees the tzaddik. The tzaddik is close. The tzaddik asks for something. He knows the way to ask. He knows the lashonis to use. He's the one that's close. So he has a better chance in certain ways of being answered. It will not be menaka from our skuyos, but there is a little bit of discussion. If a person didn't get something, and then they try to get something in a way that's even forced, there is a question whether a person should do it or not. I just give an example. Ask and ask and ask, and it doesn't matter how many times the person asks. The only thing is that we accept whatever the answer is. When a person resorts to something like a nace, so then the nace itself we have to be roy for. We weren't roy for the nace, and the nace happened. That's not such a good thing. And that there are ways that a person could do certain things in order to come about. It's an interesting thing there is a shaila. Whether a person is allowed to use certain means in order to gain a benefit, a profit, can a person use a certain mazel in order to make things happen? And the answer is that we're not supposed to be mishana the teva of the bria. If a person had that kaya, the bria has a certain teva. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to go according to that teva to fit into nature. And therefore it's wrong. A person once came to me, they were mispalo for something, they davened for something, and what they wanted, it didn't turn out in the end, it didn't turn out that they got it. So the person said, I don't understand, I was mispalo, and it couldn't be, they couldn't believe that what they were mispalo for, it didn't go. The reason is because I think that sometimes a person gets plugged in, that they think that the miracle is definite. Even the miracle will have to have the outcome according to Hashgacha Pratis. In other words, whatever will be the outcome from the miracle, it also has to fit into the scheme of Hashgacha. And if that miracle is supposed to happen, even if it's a push miracle, it will. If it's not supposed to happen, and if it does happen, so then it wouldn't be good. And I don't know if we ever spoke about it, a person came to Rav Moshe Feinstein and he wanted to, he knew somebody was very ill. He wanted to sell the person's illness. There's a certain thing that to sell a person's, to sell the makhla. So he said to Reb Moshe, isn't it true that if you can sell the illness, you know, well, then I'm going to sell, go down to the Bowery, take somebody there, a korban, and, you know, sell him the makhla, then that person gets well and the other person gets sick. So he says to Reb Moshe, is such a thing true? Reb Moshe said, yes, it's the truth. You can do such a thing. However, you should know that when you sell that person the illness, you sell them also all of your sturis. All your sturis are sold along with it, and you're left without anything. So we don't know that sometimes a person could do a little dreidel and make a little miracle, but what may happen at the end is they may cause themselves a great misfortune. And there have been examples like that. The Nesivas Shalom ends up, Shabbos may be Geula li Yisrael. That Shabbos brings the Geula to Klal Yisrael. V'omole shom Yisrael Shabbos miyad nigalin. If Klal Yisrael would only keep Shabbos one time, they would already have the Geula. It's a kasha. It says v'omole shom Yisrael shtei Shabbosos. It says the Klal Yisrael has to watch Shabbos twice. So why do we say that Shabbos could have been just one time? Shabbos is the level of Amunah. Shabbos is what the Yidden in times of Mitzrayim needed, was because they had lost that Amunah. They became attached to Avodah Zarah. Why is it that we say you need two Shabbosos? Because it's interesting. It says, Sheish Sheish Yom Tavoy Yosizmo Achtavim Mashvi Shabbos Hashem Lekecho. That the 6 days the person has to work. So the period Al Torah explains that the 6 days have to be for Shabbos. I work Sunday for Shabbos, Monday for Shabbos, Tuesday for Shabbos, Wednesday for Shabbos. I'm working all of those days with Shabbos in mind. I'm working with Shema. What happens if a person had a hero tshuva? They decided I want to do tshuva on, say for instance it was on Thursday night. So they didn't have the Sheish Sheish Yom Tiyos Melachtecho. They didn't have the 6 days that were going to be the days of Melacha L'Shem Shabbos. So therefore, usually that's why we need two Shabbosos. However, if they would have the 6 days, like say Sunday morning, the person would wake up and say, okay, I'm a hero tshuva now. I'm going to start to be Shomer Shabbos. If they would have the 6 days, it would even be enough to koyach of one Shabbos for the Geula. So that's also how the Nesir Shalom explains Be'ita Achishana. Achishana can come about this year, this week. As soon as Shabbos is over, if we can get everybody to be Shomer Shabbos and Klal Yisrael, we can be Makarv all the Yidden, so Mashiach can come on Sunday without a problem. And this is the way that Hashem Yisborach wanted to show that Hashem Yisborach wanted to show Mitzrayim, the Yidden Mitzrayim, that even if they were sunk in the Memtesh Shari Tumah, that Hashem will use the Midah of Ava and will take out the Yidden from Golos, just like a parent, even a child gets into so much trouble, Chas V'Shalom, a parent is always willing to go and to bring the child out of the mud. And this is also the inyan that we read about these inyanim about doing tshuva of Avodah Zarah during the Shabbosos of Shoivavim, which starts with Parshas Shmos. So Nesiv HaShalom says because the gevaltike koyach that a person has to do a tikkun during Shoivavim is higher than the entire year the koyach to do tshuva. I saw a sefer last year during the weeks of Shoivavim that was put out just called Shoivavim. And it talks all about the milas of the weeks that start from Shmois and goes over to Mishpatim, all of the power that a person has that they can do tshuva during this time, which is a accelerated koyach that a person will be able to masak in their life. And we become, during this time, when a person does tshuva, we become like a bria chadasha, like a brand new bria, and that is what Hashem wished that Klal Yisrael would do, that in the times of Mitzrayim, that they would do tshuva, that they would accept it, that they would be, at least they would see some of the oysos, that they would be nisoira, that they would have an inspiration, and from those oisas begin to do tshuva and become a bria chadasha. That's why we have the shoivim during this time, because every year is revisited the original ha'aras that happened in the world. Those ha'aras, those lights are visited again on us, and therefore we have the power right now to do tshuva, which is a higher power than during other times of the year. Shkoyach Rav Isaac.